So if this stings a little bit, it's meant to. It should. To help us to understand the importance of the husband and wife in the home. You know, children aren't raised in a vacuum. They're raised by parents or they're not. Right? So what we do does impact, and how we treat one another does impact how our children will treat each other and how they will respond in the future. I mean, we are their example, right? Because see, here's the thing about us as Christians and as those that are separated Christians that homeschool our children and everything. The examples that our children receive, we're not going to be able to be like, well, they went to public school, or well, they went to the Christian school and they taught them bad. It's all their fault. We're not going to be able to do that. Right? It's going to be, they're our children. They learn from our example. Does that make sense? Well, it'll make a lot more as we go. The quality of the husband-wife relationship has a lot to do with how the kids turn out for the Lord, says Pastor Mario from Metropolitan Baptist Church, Sydney, Australia. He observes, I can't help but think that the key is the role model. If the child sees the parents bickering with one another over silly things, I can't help but think that this influences the child. Of course it does. Following are some of the foundational elements of the husband-wife relationship from a biblical perspective. Now, a lot of these aren't going to be new to us. We've talked about these in our marriage series, so it probably won't hit you quite as hard because you've heard a lot of these already. But imagine being in a fundamental Baptist church where they don't talk about any of these things. So this is like groundbreaking for a lot of people. Right, this is like couples retreat stuff that the pastor doesn't say from the pulpit so they don't get mad, and that they soft sell with balloons and chubby bunny chants when you shove marshmallows into your mouth at camp. Some of you are... Yeah. Am I hitting it? Am I pretty close? Well, yes. All right. So when my wife and I were first married, they had a camp retreat, but it was but because there was a deaf couple there and she was interpreting, thank God, I didn't have to do any chubby bunny stuff. I really wasn't that kind of guy that would get up on stage and shove marshmallows in my face and say chubby bunny. I'm not Lee. Where'd you do it at? Maybe I just did it. Maybe I just did it on a Saturday night because I was bored. Right, family camp. Yeah, you were chubby bunny. They had the big marshmallows, and what's my point? They slip in little comments into that chubby bunny stuff, into those games that they play. You've been to marriage. Has anybody been to a marriage retreat where they do those goofy games? Come on, anybody? Giannis, have you been to one? No. No, Giannis didn't go to one of those. I went to it, but I kind of had to. My pastor made me. You didn't like that? Have you been to one, Jacob? No. It's really weird. None of you are fundamentalists, so it's kind of hard. It's like they don't know what we're talking about. I'm like, you did. You've been to one. I know you. Well, you did at camp, but it's the same thing. Yeah. Anyway, when I went there, never mind. I won't talk about that. Well, no, they just do fun and games, and they have like, yeah. They do the stuff to break the ice. They can talk about deep marriage stuff that I pretty much yell at you about every week. So, or when I teach in marriage series or children's series or anything. I mean, you've heard it, right? You've heard it. So this isn't going to be anything new for you. You're not getting any marshmallows or energy drinks. You are going to get roasted. Yeah, that's right. The father must be the spiritual head of the home. That's not new for you to understand. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Ephesians 6:4. Neglect of this responsibility is one of the greatest reasons why so many young people from Christian families drop out of church. In fact, neglect of this responsibility has corrupted Western society as a whole. I would agree with that. Look at that. You see so many fatherless homes where fathers that are not leading the home. As Pastor Terry Coomer observes, the most important factor in the breakdown of the home is fathers not fulfilling their biblical role of leadership in the home. This is the most important reason for unhappy families. It's true. God says worship is to be led by the Father, for I know him, Genesis 18:9, for I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. So we see that principle instituted there, right? The lack of leadership by the Father today in every area is the most important factor in the breakdown of the American home. I pray the Lord will give us some more men like Joshua who said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let me give you a background here of something and just give you an idea here. There are going to be times as a husband in your home that you're going to have to take a firm hand and lead in some areas. As a father, there's going to be some times that you're going to have to lead your wife. There are going to be some things that you're going to notice in your family, in your home, concerning your children, concerning your wife, even maybe relationships. Friendships of other women that she has or something like that. There's going to be a time when you got to look at some of those that, you know what? I'm talking about outside of the church and things of that nature, that, you know what? This isn't healthy. You start to listen to some things and pay attention and keep your eyes and notice what's going on and really lead your home and understand what's going on. You're going to have to take an interest in a leadership in the home. That doesn't mean that you're doing everything. You're not going to be there all the time to lead worship. You're not going to be there to lead all the time to lead devotions and everything like that. Mom, you're there with them all the time. The father is to make sure that's done. And yes, there should be a part of that. There's not every night that I come home that I do that. My wife does it during the day. And many times that I come home, I do it. Many times I lead a hymn. We sing songs. We'll pray together. We'll do that many times a week. That's done, but it's not all the time. My wife is expected, and as a leader, I'm expected to make sure that she is leading devotions in the home with the kids. Why? Because she's mainly there with them. And it is her place to be there mainly with them. It's not a man's place to be there. If you think your husband is supposed to sit at home all day and be there to be a housewife, you're mistaken about his role. I'm going to say that again. If you think your husband is supposed to sit there and be there all day long and be there with you, and be there as a wife and a house, you're wrong. That's not his place. His place is to oversee it. His place is to help you. His place is to lead you, but it's your place as a lady to do that. That's where God put you, not him. That his primary place is not there. His primary place is where in the Bible? Where do we see it? Working, and where is that done? In the gates of the city. He's out there. You're not. You're in there with your children. That's the way it is. Amen. What will Satan always tempt you to do? Want to be out in the gates. Want to be noticed. Come on. Just like women today in America. Most of those women today in politics, they want to be noticed. They want to be seen. They don't have a desire to be modest. They want to be seen by everyone. Right? They want to be leaders. They want to run the government. They want to do all that. That's what they want to do. But that's not, you see that nowhere in the scriptures that God has women in leadership roles like that. It's not what God taught. And we're seeing the breakdown of it today because of it, because fathers don't lead anymore. Lack of godly male leadership brings about the disastrous consequences of rebellion, delinquency, and promiscuity. Right? Jacob didn't know where Dinah was. He should have. He should have known where Dinah was. Let me ask you something. Don't you think it's important, Dad, when you marry off your daughter that you can vouch for her purity? Don't you think it's important that you can vouch for your daughter's purity? Well, if she's out running around everywhere under God's green earth, how are you going to be able to do that? Is that too real? I know, I'm still ornery and feisty, ain't I? But is that too real, or is that just absolutely truth? Well, Jacob couldn't. Why? Because Dinah got out from underneath him. Right? I'm going to tell you what. Dinah wouldn't got in trouble if Mama was out there with her. Right? Let me ask you a question, Mom. Is some guy going to be able to seduce your daughter with you right there? Or would you stink and gut him right there? Or would you drive the spike between his temples? You ever seen a woman mad because you hurt their children? Right? That's what I'm talking about. That's how important that is. That's not in the that's not David Cloud. Those are comments from Pastor Cooley that you just won't get in Keeping the Kids, David Cloud's book. But those are fireside chats, yeah. That's right. Well, those will be in parentheses, which will be bigger than the book. The most important cause of divorce in America is the lack of proper godly leadership by the father and husband. It is also the most frequent cause of children's feelings of rejection, behavioral problems, and anxieties. See, children need to grow up in a home where there's stability, where mom and dad are there and mom and dad love each other. And they know they go to bed at night and mom and dad's there. They wake up in the morning, mom and dad's going to be there. Or dad might be off at work, but mom's there setting the order for the day. That's how children are to grow up. Then they don't grow up with major insecurities. Right? They don't grow up like that. That's the way God intended it to be. How come more pastors don't preach that today? Why is that missing? Why is that fundamental? Look, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Our foundations are being attacked and destroyed. But long before the LGBTQ, the feminists moved their way in, and the suffrage movement moved their way into the Southern Baptist Convention, and now they're waving their little stinking pink flag right up in the middle of it right now, and they've basically declared that it's over. So they got the sodomites, they got the feminists, and they got the transgenders, and they're going to have everybody there waving their flags in these churches. And what went wrong first? This. The order. That's what went wrong first. They sacrificed the order for an extra car. They sacrificed the order for a bigger bank account. They sacrificed their children on the altar of upward mobility. Yeah. This is vitally important to raising children for God. It is vitally important, this relationship is. And to have it correctly, have it done correctly. It is vitally important. For their behavioral problems and everything, it's usually because there's a mom and a dad not there. Somebody's not there, right? Children are always going to have behavioral problems. Just like you as Christians are always going to have behavioral problems. Right? We always have those. We got to get straightened out. Ephesians 6, 1 through 4, notice in verse 4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The word wrath means a strong desire to avenge. How does a father provoke a child to wrath? By not bringing him up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's how. Nurture means training with structure. Most fathers have no desire for the word of God, and they are raising angry, vengeful children because they are not committed to training their children in spiritual principles as God commands. Of course, they cannot train the child if they are ignorant of God's principles themselves, and that is a picture of the American father. It's true. I'm going down through Proverbs now, and God is showing me things I never really saw before as I'm looking through there for child-rearing things, and I want to write a series. I want to put together a series sometime in the future, whenever the Lord lets me. We got a bunch going right now, but on characters in Proverbs and how parents are taught from God in Proverbs to teach their children about certain characters in this world to stay away from and those to be a part of. And there are so many different ones. There's the wicked man. There's the foolish man. There's the slothful man. There's the sluggard. Right? There's the strange woman. Yeah, I've done a couple of them before in the past. Right? There's so many. There's the drunkard. The simple young man. The simple young fool. What's that? Void of understanding. That's right. Those, all of those are in there. All those men are in there. And when people say, well, there's, you know, the children don't come with a manual. Oh, yes, they do. You start looking in the book of Proverbs, you'll see what you're not teaching your kids. I'm not kidding you. You'll see it. It'll just stick out and you'll be like, oh no. I'm supposed to warn my children of this. Of these people. There's people that you have to warn your family, your wife of. No, honey, that's not a good friend for you. It's not a good something. That's not a good person for you. It's not a good person. You know, the Bible talks about them. They're women or people that destroy authority. They bat around somebody that badmouths their pastor, badmouths their husband, teaches things contrary to what you teach in your home. Those are people that you don't listen to. You don't give ear to. You don't let your wife give ear to people like that. Nope. It's divisive. It's wrong. It sends a mixed spirit into the home. Sows seeds. See, they sow seeds of discord. How about the flatterer? Not and the flat earther. But how about the flatterer? Very important person to stay away from. And by the way, those people that sow discord, they do it with flattery. They flatter you and then they sow the seeds of discord. And they use flattery. God, I'm telling you what, the things I've been through in the last 3 years, God has showed me so much about that. I'm not bragging at anything because it didn't feel good. But he showed me so many things about that God just opened my eyes the other day to something and it went, and God went, there you go, right there, there it is. Time to stomp that. It's time to stomp Satan's hoof right now and kick him out. There it is right there. There it is. Stomp it right there. Stomp it. And you just can't unteach stuff that God's taught you like that. You can't forget about it. It sticks right there and you're like, uh-uh, not again. Nope. Not wise. Not wise. There's the wise man. There's the foolish man. Lots of stuff. Amen? Lots of stuff. So they're in there. And I'd encourage you, you ladies and you men, you should be in Proverbs every day, even if it's on the chapter of the day that it is. Get in there for one verse and look at one verse, one principle. And if you do any marking in your Bible, what I would suggest doing, I know I'm taking up extra time here, but that's okay. I take liberties that are mine already, so that's what I'll do. Right? It's okay. One day you'll thank God for a pastor that just continued to keep teaching you and teaching you and teaching. I'm telling you, there's a lot of pastors that won't do that. They won't give that much time. That's a lot of hours of teaching to do that. I'm not bragging. We need it. But if you look at this, you can't see this, but I've marked in these chapters, child rearing, next to them, next to those. Child ring, like this. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Right there. And I mark these different verses that talk about that. Here's my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Guess what that means? You've got to teach them. You've got to be instructing your children. For length of days and long life and peace they shall add to thee. All the way through here. How about this one? Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father. Dad, that means you got to teach something. Attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake you not my law. Amen. All through there, I've marked those different verses that deal with, how about the idle man? The Bible talks about the idle man. Dangerous. Our idle woman. Dangerous. Dangerous. Nothing more dangerous than being idle. Got to keep busy, right? Got to keep doing something. Serving the Lord, being faithful to God, serving other people. You got to keep busy. Anyway, so there's the strange woman. Her house leads to hell. The adulterer, the foolish woman, the adulteress, the gracious woman. Amen. Anyway, so if you start marking some of those verses in the Bible, verses that are dealing with directing and teaching your children, you ain't going to run out of stuff to teach. I promise you. And you won't say, well, there's not a manual for raising children. All right, that's only page one, so we got to get moving. I would say I feel bad, but I don't. David Blankenhorn, in his 1995 book, Fatherless America, says, the culture changed from a stable two-parent home to father's abandonment of his responsibilities of marriage, and parenting is America's most urgent social problem. The father's absence is the main reason for unhappy homes. Many current social problems, it is a national crisis of our time. I absolutely believe that. Yep. According to the National Fatherhood Institute, 40% of the children in the United States have not seen their father for a year. 40. When this book was wrote, yeah. Or, yeah. It doesn't say when, but I'm assuming when this book was wrote. A couple years ago. In the last 15 years, fatherless children jumped from 10.2 million to 15.6 million. 70% of juveniles in detention centers and reformatories are children of fatherless homes. Yep. Yep. You know, it's interesting because I was talking about the person that I bought my black powder rifle off of. He was selling it for a lady that her husband was a sheriff's deputy, and he was working. He was 42 years old, had a couple kids, and he was working in the juvenile detention center. And he was working with a couple kids there. He was just filling in one day for a friend that needed him to fill in. This juvenile went into the bathroom, grabbed the lid from the toilet, on the back of the toilet, and crushed his skull in and killed him. 14 years old, murdered that man for absolutely no reason at all. Mm-hmm. Think about that. And you know what? If he had a good father that was at home, that just told him no, that loved him, that guided him, probably never would have happened. Yeah, it does make him rage. Statistics indicate that violent criminals are overwhelmingly males who grew up without a father's leadership. I'll tell you what, do a study on young men in America today and how angry they are. I did that a while back, remember that? Young boys in America and their problem. They're the most hate. Young boys are the most hated ones in all of America. They are the most hated people in all of America. Young males, and they're angry about it. Because they're the most, those groups that are the most unloved group of young people. Of people, period. And they're told that, you know, they're wrong because they're male, they're men, and they're not supposed to be men, you know, they got to be something else. The feminists tell them they're wrong, the LGBTQ tells them they don't know what they really are. If they're white, they tell them they ought to have white guilt, or they're living under white privilege. I always say, is that the privilege to pay for everything? Is that what that is? Oh, mark that down. You think that's racist? I don't care what you think. How do you like that? Is that the privilege to pay for everything? Is that what it is? Yeah, maybe you don't like that. I don't care. Tough. I don't care who hears it. You don't like it. That's what I say it. That the privilege to pay for everything, is that what it is? Privilege to have you curse everything that those men that founded this country did? In case you haven't remembered, the ones that God used to secure liberty here, that the Bible would be preached, that more people would be saved all over the world due to the missionaries, everything else, those men? Right. Right. Well, anyway, that was free. That's also not in this book, so I don't want you to get mad at David. Send your hate mail to me, not David Cloud. Dave has enough. According to the National Fatherhood Institute, 40% of the children of the United States have not seen their father. We talked about that. I'm sorry. Yep. This includes 60% of America's rapists, 72% of adolescent murders, and 70% of longtime prison inmates. Well, they never had a dad say no. Or one to care for him. Right. It is more than a physical presence. There are many homes where a father is there, but that is all. They want all their needs fulfilled, but do not want to take the spiritual, godly, or normal leadership that God intended. Instead, children grow up listening to their parents fight, cuss, yell, scream, and observe them spending money on all kinds of entertainment and material possessions trying to be happy. The father's failure to take responsibility and leadership in the home has created a valueless, unhappy, fractured home in society. This failure has had a devastating effect on our children and has spawned a multitude of wicked societal problems, including delinquency, sexual promiscuity, drug use, and violence. The great need is for men to repent of their sins, to really come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and then to be obedient to the commands of God from his word. Men must be the leaders God desires them to be. May God help us to pray for the men of America. That's from Terry Coomer's book, Where Are the Fathers? A respondent to our questionnaire observed this: having strong families begins with godly fathers. I have said it that a church geared around children is a children's church. A church geared around men is a woman's, or women is a woman's church. While a church geared around men and their leadership in the home is a godly church. Amen. I absolutely believe that. That's why but you know what? That's why half those jokers aren't here anymore that left this place, because they wouldn't be men and lead their homes. They wanted some benefactor to take care of them, and they didn't want to do right. Bunch of bums, so God threw them right out, right on their heads. Why? Because they couldn't handle it. They didn't want to. They didn't want to do right. Amen. That's the truth. Well, that's where the rubber meets the road, ain't it? They just never had a daddy get in their face and tell them, you ain't going to treat people like that. Well, you ain't going to treat your wife and kids like that around me. Not on my watch. You go do it somewhere else, but you ain't doing it here. You might go do it somewhere else, but not here. You ain't using this church as a cover for you to live like a devil. You don't want to be a man. You don't want to be here. See, that's because we try, by the grace of God, that this church is designed around men that stand up and that lead their homes. Guess what happens when you do? Then the family, then a wife is loved, then a family is in order. And if you don't want to do that, you don't want to be here. Right? I'll tell you what, that doctrine of men and women and keepers at home has gotten me more hate from pastors, from people all over the world, and from people that stuck a knife before they left the door. Tell you that that's the truth, man. That's the truth. I know it is. Made him mad, but I'm still here doing God's work, ain't I? Praise the Lord by his grace. Still standing by God's grace. Having strong families begins with godly fathers. The father must not leave the spiritual training of the children to someone else. Look, don't expect me to raise your children, to teach them what they need to know. I'm going to pastor them, and I'm going to teach you what you need to know to raise them, and I'm going to teach them the gospel, and I'm going to preach, and I'll try to preach the devil right out of them. But I'll tell you something right now. It's going to take you living for Jesus Christ every day of your life in front of your children for them to turn out right for God. Right? You ain't going to stick it on me and say it was my fault. Amen. This one sting yet? That happens. I don't get any sleep, Dave. I get feisty. almost think it's better sometimes. He must have a hands-on role in this important work, developing and maintaining a close relationship with his wife, spending time with the... That's right. I mean, developing a close relationship with your wife. What are you doing on that? How are you doing on that? Come on. You working on your marriage? You working on the husband-wife relationship? You building that relationship? Amen. Come on. Are you building that, or are you just ignoring that and acting like it's going to be okay and just letting years go by and years go by and years go by and years go by, and pretty soon there isn't going to be six kids and five kids or four kids between you. It's just going to be you two. And then you're going to look at each other and be like, I don't even know who you are. And you don't know who you are. Why don't you get to know them now for the rest of your life, so when the kids are grown up and then you got grandkids all over your lap and everything else, then... you can enjoy your years, your elder years together, and finish life with a smile on your face and go home and be with the Lord. You know, I told my wife, I tell her it often, I just want to grow old with you. That's what I want to do. I just want to grow old. That's what I want to do. He ain't going to go in that way, but anyway. The way of the transgressor is hard. Right, Angela? They'll beat us in with a rod, he shall not die. I shall deliver his soul from hell. Amen. But anyway, the point is that you got to get to know one another. You got to work on that. That takes work. It's not just living in the house together, sharing a bed together, and like having kids together. That's not working on your marriage. You get that, right? That's just two people living in a house together that have children. Man, this is going longer than I thought it was. Right? Anybody ready for me to be done yet? Even James is convicted. I'm looking at him. He's like, and I ain't even married yet. I want to get out of here. Just kidding, James. Just kidding. Anyway, it takes work, right? Any relationship does. It takes work. There isn't a relationship that you have that doesn't take work. Anyone, look at anyone. So why neglect the very most important one that God's given you besides eternal life? The second most important one he's given you. By the way, the second most important one is your marriage. The third is your children. If you two focus on just the children, which you'll do that together, of course. But if you focus just on the children, not each other, it'll be a lonely time. Right? And it's not going to be fun, and it should be. Right? Should be. Should be joyful. Put it that way. Not always fun, but joyful. Amen. All right, let's see. Let's move on. Personally instructing them in the scriptures, communicating closely with the wife about the family, conducting family devotions, answering the children's questions, and many other such things. He must not leave this up to his wife or to the church or to a Christian school. Neglect of this responsibility by fathers is a major reason why so many Christian families fail in raising godly children. The wife has an essential role to play, but she cannot take the place of the father. When a father dies or leaves, the Lord can give grace to overcome this deficit, but it is never easy. It is not that the father is to do all of the teaching and the discipline of his children. It is that he is to oversee all the teaching and training. He is not an absentee. He is actively involved. Pastor Coomer says this, in Ephesians 6:4, the fathers addresses the manager. In addressing the fathers, Paul is addressing the one in whom God has vested his authority for discipline. When dad manages his household, he does not always need to administer discipline directly. He must discipline the children largely through his wife. Yet in all, the father must remain in control and be aware of what happens. God holds him responsible. That means that you are responsible for how the discipline is meted out in the family, how the order is taken. You're responsible for it. But your wife is going to largely do it. She's with them all the time. It shouldn't have to be, well, wait till your dad gets home. Now, there are some times that that's going to be appropriate. I think the older our children get, this may sound funny to you, but when I think, and I'm not telling you what to do in your family. I'm telling you, for me, I don't see very much profit in a 12-year-old boy or older getting spanked by his mother. I just don't. I don't. I think there's a number of reasons I don't like that. One of the reasons I don't like that is I think it's not good for a young man. I don't believe it's good for them. I don't believe it's good. Second reason why I don't believe it's good for them is because he's learning to be a man. All right? And at 12 years old, you can look at your son, mom, and say, well, dad will discuss this with you when he gets home. For now, you do this. Now, you may disagree with that, and that's fine. I don't like the picture of it. I don't like it. I don't think it's, I think when a young man comes home and he defies his father or defies the mother, I've told my son, how you treat your mother is how you treat me. That's my wife. If you don't treat her right, you're not, she might be your mother, but she's my wife. And if you don't treat my wife right, do you understand? Do you understand what I'm saying? And at 12 years old, he can understand that dad's going to deal with this when he gets home. Because you're going to deal with the man. See the difference? You're going to deal with the man. And I see that really when you see a father and a son in the Bible, it's dealing with the father taking the rod to that boy, that young man. I'm not talking about little kids, okay? I'm talking about when they get older, when these young men are, first of all, I'm going to get real with you, okay? They ain't scared of that swing from their mommy, okay? When they get old enough, they're pretty much laughing at that. After you spank them, I don't care if they give a little fake little tears or something like that, but that 12-year-old boy, he ain't a bit afraid of that spanking his mama gave him, all right? Because she can't swing worth anything. She can't even tan his hide, all right? I'm just being real with you, all right? He swing like a girl. All right? For the most part, that's what they do. I'm just telling you, for the most part, that's what they do. And people nowadays, Lee, didn't grow up like that either. People nowadays, the older you get, 12, 13, 14-year-old boys, they need a man to deal with them. Why? Because you're teaching them to be a man. You teach them the proper, like what a man does. Like, this is what, I'm not saying there's never going to be a time. What I'm saying is, it should be very limited, and I think a man should do it. I think the husband should do it. I think the dad should do it. Because, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? You know exactly what I'm saying. Yep. Right. Right. Exactly. And I'm going to tell you what, his respect for his mother will go up when dad deals with it. When mom keeps her sweet and soft demeanor. Listen, I got to go. I'm still getting Baptist history in today. All right. Listen, here's what I'm saying. Let me tell you, ladies, what you do. When you raise your voice, you lose your respect. You lose your composure, and they lose respect for you. They just do. Because there ain't nothing worse than a squawking woman. I'm just telling you right now. I'll tell you stuff your husband won't tell you and that most people are afraid to tell women. But my ministry is built on... Never mind. on making Jezebel run. But the point is that There's nothing that looks worse. I know there's a time. No, don't do that. You know, I get it, okay? But women yelling, it teaches that young man. Do you want a woman yelling? You want to be married to a loud and stubborn woman? Brawling woman in a White House with Barack Obama? Right, do you want to be in there where that woman's yelling? Like, there's nothing worse than hearing a woman yell. I'm telling you, I'm not being mean. I'm just telling you. And the Bible is totally against it. You say, you know what? Your father will deal with you. You keep your composure, and that young man faces the man when he comes home. And that young man learns what men do to keep the rule of law. You see the difference? Mama stays mama. And daddy shows him how to be a man. Look, lady, you can't teach him to be a man. And you ain't going to do it by squawking at him either. All they do is laugh at that. They laugh at it. Guess what they don't laugh at? Dad in their face. I'm just telling you, it's the way it is. Because that's God's way of doing it. Search the scriptures and see if you see it any differently. I don't think you're gonna. That's why he's saying that man has to be there to deal with that. I'm talking about young men. And they learn not to disrespect mom. They don't learn it from you raising. I tell my wife, don't raise your voice, raise the rod. Why should you become unchristian and raise your voice? Why should you leave a meek and quiet spirit? The Bible says, hear ye the rod. What makes everyone hear better? When you turn their ears up. Why did God say, hear ye the rod? Here it comes. Right? Are you following me? I don't. That's not in his book. That's. Don't blame David Cloud for that. Yeah, it is. Okay, husbands, love your wives. What time did we start this? Where are we at, Luke? Oh, that's not bad. Oh, that's not bad. I could finish this. That's a piece of cake. 17 minutes? I could finish this. Yeah, I got this. Next. Ready? Husbands must love his wife and communicate with her. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Amen? The quality of the husband-wife relationship is a foundational element in how children turn out. The husband is to love his wife, and the wife is to submit to and honor her husband. This earthly relationship is a picture of the heavenly relationship between Christ and the church. And blessed are the children who see this lived out before them. It has been said that one of the most important things that a man can do for his children is to love his wife. I believe that. If they see you love their mother, it goes a long ways. I have 5 daughters. I had to count to make sure. But it's like, I have 5 daughters. The most important thing they can see is that their father loves their mother and them, but that he loves their mother. They need to see that. They have to. And my son needs to see that I love his mother. He has to see that. You can have all the stiff rules, and you can cross your T's and dot your I's and do all those things. And I mean, you can rule the house with a rod of iron. But if those children grow up and see no love, they'll run away from it. They'll hate it. You'll misrepresent Christ. You'll misrepresent the church. You'll misrepresent what God's love for Christ or God's love for the church. You'll misrepresent it all, and they'll grow up with a skewed view of what Christianity is. Amen. All because of the example of that relationship, that there is no love there. Amen. This is very important. By loving his wife, the man pleases God and thus has God's power in his life. The children see the marriage as a good thing, something to be desired. They respect their father. They see that obedience to God's word is desirable. You know what's really weird? I've seen people grow up. I hear them. I don't ever want to get married. I don't ever want to have children. When people say that, they had a bad childhood. And they saw really bad marriages. Because to say that means that you didn't see what you should have seen. Right? You should have seen love. And desired that. Listen to me. Your children should see the tender way their father looks at their mother. Your children should see the tender way that the father looks at the mother. They should see it. And those girls should think, someday. Right? Amen. They should see that. If they don't see that tenderness there, that's got to change. Because it's got to be there. Amen. It has to be there. Children ought not look at marriage and think, oh, I don't want to ever get married. That's like every girl's dream should be. Right? And it shouldn't be destroyed by a lack of love in the home. They see that obedience to God's word is desirable. On the other hand, when a man mistreats and disrespects his wife, the children are discouraged and find it difficult to honor him. By mistreating his wife and thus disobeying and dishonoring God, how can a father expect his children to honor and obey him? So if they see you like cold and mean and hard towards their mother, they're not going to grow. They're going to despise you for that. Those children are going to despise their father for that. They're going to think, a wise husband will not only treat his wife with Christian love and tenderness, he will listen to her. She has God-given wisdom. She is made in the image of God and has a different but important perspective than that of the man. She usually spends more time with the children and understands them better. Sometimes you just need to listen. Amen? Sometimes you just need... Dave, quit waving at me. It's weird. Sometimes... Dave waves at me. It's weird. I forgot. Now, Dave, you lost my train of thought. Would you stop it, Dave? Keep your waves to yourself, will you? Sometimes your wife has some, she's been dealing with things like all day or on a regular basis, and you come home and you're ready to take out the bazooka and blow everybody away and be like, you're going to get this right now. Boom, 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 boom. And you're ready to blow everything up. And the wife's like, hold on, wait a minute there, cowboy. Slow down. Wait there, commando. Hang on a second. Yeah. Hold on, Rambo. Calm down a bit. Slow down. And your wife has to say, it's okay. It's not that big of a deal. It, you know? Because there is sometimes that you make a big deal out of things that you probably shouldn't. Right? Now, there's things that you see, obviously. But also, there's things that your wife may see that you don't. I've had that happen before. Just like there's things that my wife doesn't see and I have to point out to her. No, this has got, no, that's not right. Or my, you know, but there's sometimes that she sees things. Your wife is going to see things, and you need to be able to listen and just not be so hard that you can't listen to any reason, that it's got to be your way no matter what. What if you're wrong? I mean, listen, you should be able to discuss it. There should be a discussion there. Right? You should trust one another enough to be able to discuss things with each other. Right? You listen? There are all these people, Jacob, anyway. Of course, after the husband listens to the wife, he must make the final decision. We have an example in Scripture of Abraham and Sarah. On one occasion, Abraham followed his wife's counsel when he should have rejected it. Hey, you see Hagar? Yeah, that was a bad move. That was a time not to listen. But on the other occasion, he rejected her counsel when he should have followed it. In Genesis 21, verse 9 through 13. Often my mom, he says, I think it's Pastor Coomer said, or Ken Ham said this. This is a good quote from Ken Ham and good advice. Listen to this. I want to get this book that he has, Raising Godly Children. We should try to pick that up maybe. Often my mom would be behind the scenes persuading dad and reminding him to be gentle and gracious in his approach. Sometimes dads can be kind of gruff. Have you ever noticed that? I mean, kind of. Just a little? Well, I'm like a teddy bear. Or like Pastor Clear said, but I could turn into the grizzly bear real easy. The teddy bear, grizzly bear transformation is awesome. I just want to have Pastor Clear tell me that story again. He told me that story. He probably told me that story like 100 times. He's like, I'm just like a teddy bear that kind of moves people off. And he goes, one day he goes, but I can be a grizzly bear. Oh, okay. Anyway. Sometimes dad was about as subtle as a brick hammer. And sometimes needed to be. Right? Sometimes he needed to be. Yet the gentle persuasion of a godly wife was always in his ear, reminding him of his responsibility to use his words carefully and constructively. Right? Sometimes, mom, sometimes you just need to go. Calm down. Not correcting in a correcting way, but just even just a gentle touch to be like, it's okay. Sometimes my wife says nothing, not calm down like you stop, but just the touch. I'm not saying you need to tell your husbands to stop it or anything or calm down in that way. What I mean is, you know what I'm talking about. There's you don't even have to say anything. You can just put your arm on them. And a lot of times it's like, oh, yep. That's the way it should be, right? Amen. That's the way it's supposed to be. But I'm not implying that your wife should correct you in front of your children. What I'm implying is that you ought to be slow to speak and swift to hear, to listen. Right? There's a reason why God put her gentle spirit in the home. And there's a reason why he put the manly spirit there. Right? There's a reason for both. Don't despise either one of them. Amen? Don't try to make your wife like you. Please don't. There doesn't need to be two of you in the house. Believe me. Right, Ryan? One's enough. The same token, ladies, don't do that to your husband. Don't try to make them like you. But we ought to blend that together to raise the children. If a mother's role was not important and necessary, and a father's role wasn't, then it wouldn't be there. God wouldn't have placed him there. Right? Not only should husbands listen sincerely to their wives, but we should be seeking their input and hastening their comment. Apart from Christ, they know us better than anyone in this world. And that's true. I mean, you can fool everybody you want to, besides God. But the person that lives with you every day, you ain't fooling them. Nope. They know who you are inside and out. Amen? At least some of you are going to learn that. Having a discerning wife who is willing to speak the truth to me in love has been an invaluable asset as I seek to lead our family. She has helped me to take the time to listen carefully to my children and greatly value whatever it is that they want to express to me, even in moments of discipline. Ken Ham, Raising Children, page 120 and 199. The wife must have a godly, submissive spirit. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair and of the wearing of gold or the putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price, of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands. Even as Abraham obeyed Sarah, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. If the mother is stubborn and rebellious towards authority, beginning with the authority of her husband, the children will imitate this rebellion. Yep. Ken Ham observes, more women are becoming increasingly domineering as they take over. It appears to me that the feminist movement affected many women in our churches, and this affects the whole family structure. Mally, his wife, has said to me many times that she sees her role as to support me in whatever way she can so that I can carry out the ministry God has called me to be actively involved in. Her attitude was obvious to our children. There's no doubt in their mind. In their minds at all that their mother supports their dad 100%. I believe this has a lot to do with why our children have not rebelled against my absences and the reason why they are so supportive, just like their mother, of the itinerant creation ministry I'm actively a part of. Ken Ham, Raising Godly Children. A Sunday school teacher in Alabama shared this with me, an interesting testimony in this regard. He said that there was a time early in his marriage when his wife resisted wearing dresses, but when she won the victory over this matter and determined to dress in a consistently feminine manner, this affected her attitude toward him. She has since had much more submissive spirit, and this has in turn had influenced the children. Amen. He closes out with this, which I agree with. Mothers must be keepers at home. Now, we've already talked extensively about this, that they must teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. This one, when it is overlooked, is probably one of the major reasons why children don't turn out. Tony Evans, a missionary to Japan, says, we made the conscious decision that my wife would not work outside the home, so she's been a stay-at-home mom, of course. With ministry, there are many pressures and demands, but even there, we have tried to limit how much she does in the church once we see that it starts to affect her involvement with the children. And see, my counter to that is I don't have any of those extra things in here to make that necessary. Because anything that can be done in here for the most part can be done by another man that can do it. Amen. For the most part. So then what does that mean? So you don't have all those programs and all those extra things that cause so many things that need to be done. So many extra things, I mean. Right? Pastor Terry Coomer testifies, my wife and I made a decision as young parents that my wife would stay home and become the most important influence in the children's lives. She homeschooled both of our daughters. We made sure to guard their training and influences. Why did we do that? We know that the Bible tells us that Satan wants to destroy their lives. Plain and simple. We know that Satan wants to destroy them. Did you know Satan wants to destroy your family and your life? Hates your testimony for Jesus Christ and wants to see your family destroyed. He's a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he devour. And that's Christians that he's walking around seeking whom he may devour, and their children and their families. Amen. Our children had a great time growing up. They learned to have the right kind of fun from their parents. My wife, Kim, was a huge godly influence in their lives because she committed herself to be there and to be the most important influence in their lives. And I mean, I'm not going to go into a whole lot of this because we've already talked about this extensively. You understand our church's position on this. And I mean, I don't really need to read a lot of this. In fact, I disagree with a few things that he says because he doesn't go far enough, in my opinion. But I'm not in any fundamentalist camps. So I don't care if they get mad at me. And I'm not saying that's his sole purpose, but I know that they a lot of these they have Christian schools and all these things. I think if you had a killer for keepers at home, it'd be a Christian school. That's a killer for that right there. That's just a killer for that. The thing that he closes with, he says that you should fill your house with this chapter. Mom and dad should fill the house with sacred music. With good godly music, the home should be you should be playing good godly music in your home. It should be playing all the time. I mean, I know, you know, you got schoolwork and all that. I'm talking about, but godly music should be playing. Sacred music, godly music. Music that glorifies God. Good old hymns. Amen? That should be playing. That sets the spirit and the atmosphere of the home. And then the TV is not on and any other stupid thing that doesn't need to be on. Right? Because those hymns are playing. Right? Children are doing things constructive. Right? Anyway, there we go. We'll end it right there for that one. All right. I'll give you about 15 minutes, and then we'll be back for the next one. This next one won't be as long. How long was that, Luke? Oh, that's perfect almost. Man. We'll be good. Lee, pray for us, will you, please?